The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you today as we get ready to continue our series as Too Busy for Christmas. But maybe today you're traveling down the highway and you've turned us in. I just encourage you, thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9. And just thank you for the opportunity to be with you on your drive time as you're headed probably somewhere for Christmas itself. And I hope the season just finds a great opportunity for you as you head out in your destination. Also, too, you probably are headed out maybe to church and you've turned us in. Thank you again for listening. Or those of you that are simply sitting at home, thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning time of teaching and worship, and just that this is an extension. But before we get started this morning, we got a couple things we just want to reiterate about what's coming down. Just a reminder that we send out devotionals 6 days a week, both for the men and women. You can go to vitalministries.org and check that out. And just some good stuff, good insight, gives you a nugget for in the midst of your day. And I just encourage you to jump on that as well. And then also, too, January 12th is our next Vital Gathering. You won't want to miss that. That's at Debbie's Celebration Barn. Again, that's on January 12th, 2020. Believe it or not, it is on its way. And put that down on your calendar. Just a great night. We go from 5 to 7 p.m. It's on a Sunday night. We have food, great food, by the way. Also, too, we'll have time of worship, do a teaching, and then also, too, we'll have a coffee time afterwards. It goes from 5 to 7 p.m. in the evening on January 12th, which is on a Sunday. Hope you can set apart your time to possibly participate and make time to be with us. We would really appreciate that. I think it'd be a really, really good time for you and great time to set apart. We're going to be our teaching that night will be Burn the Ships, and I'll talk a little bit more of that later on in the coming weeks. But again, just encourage you to participate and be a part of that as well. So those two things up front for as we head for Christmas. It's hard to believe, you know, Christmas is all but here. Wow, it's amazing. Christmas week is upon us, and there's only four more days to open up Christmas gifts with your family and with your friends, and to sit back a moment and to present the experience of what the day is ahead as we look at this Christmas season. For my wife and I, we'll be on a pace to prepare to fly to Plantation, Florida. We'll take our puppy to Des Moines to a dog care facility that will watch her over the next 5 days. And then on Tuesday, we'll rush to Des Moines, jump on a plane, fly out about 5:30 in the morning, hope to arrive at Fort Lauderdale about 12:15, and then enjoy Christmas with his son and his family and my four grandchildren. I'm just excited about that. But it sounds like a lot of time of busyness as we try to deny the fact that, like most Americans, we become, in truth, too busy for Christmas itself. We become a people that our problem in life is that we are simply busy within itself. And here's a quote that I think describes this at best as we look at busyness. We're a nation in love with speed. We drive fast, we eat fast, we talk fast. We're obsessed with breaking records and shortening time spaces. We digest our life, condense our experience, and compress our thoughts. We're a culture surrounded by memos and commercials. Why other cultures might believe haste makes waste. We're convinced that speed reflects alertness, power, and success. Americans are always in a hurry. This is by a man who wrote this by the name of Meyer Friedman. And I think that kind of describes the setting about what it looks like for us in the busyness of life and being too busy for Christmas itself. But isn't that quote so true as we look at life today? We are in a time of busier than ever. In moments like this, even today, as you maybe you're driving down the highway and you're trying to drive faster to gain time. We all do it. We're all busy with places to go and people to see. That is the lifestyle that we experience as Americans as we prepare not only for Christmas itself, but life itself. Today, my hope is that is this, that we can take a moment to see Jesus before he was a baby, in a manger to see him before he was on earth, before the stars were set. How good that God has called his son. And we're going to see some things in creation itself, how God has allowed his son to be the work of the creation, in which God was the master architect, the designer of the heavens and the earth, in order for us to even have Christmas story. But Jesus was the one. He was the builder of everything. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning or listen along as you're traveling down the highway. We're going to open up, change a little bit of how we see the Christmas story in a different light, a different reflection. And we're going to go to the book of John and see what the disciple John, how he writes the depicting of the opening, the beginning. And my point number one, if you're writing this down today, it starts here. And I want to read for you out of the book of John, chapter 1. We're going to look at the first five verses to start off with this morning. And this is what it says in the Bible with the NLT. It says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was God, and the Word was God himself. He created, he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. First of all, as we read this portion of the Bible in the Gospel one, we notice that many times we see the word, don't we? It's being used. In verse 5, it's used four times. Also, in the first five verses, we've noticed it's being used four times. It has significance. Also notice the word he or him being used. We see it being used three times in this short amount of time. Jesus is present with God in the beginning in creation itself. As I said before, God is the architect, the designer, but Jesus is the builder and does the God's creation as he speaks it into existence. Like it says in Revelation 1:8, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and end of creation. His word reveals God's heart and mind to us as he spoke things simply into existence itself. You see no busyness in the words of God's creation. Matter of fact, you see no words given to time itself. The beginning of creation and God himself always existed. Now, that's hard to wrestle with, isn't it, this morning, to think that time itself has no existence. No time can hold him, and neither does creation itself. It all started in the first five verses in the book of John. It says the Word gave life to everything that was created. So why do we, think about this for a second, so why do we allow ourselves to get so busy in life? I think the devil, or the darkness itself, has a perfect strategy to keep us busy, in which we become busy and too busy for God. This next year in 2020, I will turn 60 years old. It's amazing to me how time has flown. And I have to ask myself, how did I get there? But my answer to that is one moment at a time. But I would like to reflect in those moments, and I've realized it came in a blink. One moment I was born a young boy, then soon that moment passed, and then I had my teenage years. And after those teenage years, that moment passes, and then it's early adulthood, a time of which I got married, and we had two children. And those kids grew up in that amount of time. But that moment changed, and then I became middle-aged. And during the middle age, it was the time of the season of my life of growing in business and doing different things in my life. And then that moment changed. And now I'm a senior citizen, a grandpa, a new moment in my life in which I'm about to enter as I look at turning the page of 60 itself. But here's what I've realized, that God is truly my creator, that he is the one who gives breath in my very lungs itself, that Jesus is in fact my Savior, and he's also my Lord. It all started at the beginning of my life, and there will be an end. I've realized and seen both the light and the darkness, but I also know that light itself that does shine in the midst of dark moments. And I've, to be honest with you folks, I've never had to fight off the darkness as much as I have in this past year in 2019. Now, just to be honest about things, and as I think about this, and during the Christmas season, which creates busyness, and the things that have happened, as I look back in 2019, I've realized that I've allowed heartache to creep in my own heart. Maybe you as well create heartache, things that hurt your heart, and with that, fighting off bitterness, and that tries to crowd out the light itself. I know this shows vulnerability in my life, but I've always said this, if I can't be real and speak truthfully, on that day is the day that I will no longer decide to speak and be honest, is because I think it's so important. I think too often, as we hear people on the radio, it always sounds like, well, they always have everything always together. And I want to tell you folks that there's times in my own life as I battle off darkness that I don't always have the perfect answer, the perfect meaning, or the perfect understanding. And in moments like this, I look at other men in the Bible, other men that have dealt with anxiety, depression, the different things that go on in life itself. And as I looked this up, I saw some things. I'm hoping maybe today, in the midst of the busyness of Christmas, this might help somebody as well. I see King David himself off as he lived sometimes moments of trouble within life itself, and he also battled despair. You can read it with the loss of his son in 2 Samuel 12:15-23. He grieved over the loss of his son. And we see that in life. He loses two sons that we read in the recording of the Bible itself. The one that he had with Bathsheba in the very beginning of the time of where he stepped into sin. And out of that, God allowed his first son to pass. And also, too, his other son, Absalom, who created dissension and also, too, division within his kingdom. The other one is, as we talked about, is Elijah. He became discouraged and afraid. You can read that in 1 Kings 19, verse 4. He asked God even to take his life. He was defeated and worn out at the battle itself of life as he was trying to escape the woman Jezebel. And we've read about that Jezebel spirit and how it creates anxiety and also, too, can even create depression in our lives. The third one is this, was Jonah. He was angry and he wanted to run. You see that in the book of Jonah itself, but especially in Jonah chapter 4, verse 9, he asked God to take his life. And it was interesting because God used him in a great revival in Nineveh. Thousands came, a whole nation turned around and looked and repented before God. But yet he's angry. There's things that are going on inside of him that he struggles with. The fourth one is Job. He suffered great loss, devastation, and even physical illness. You can read that in Job itself. But in Job chapter 3, verse 26, he says this, I have no quietness and I have no rest. You ever have moments like that, folks, where there's simply no quietness and no rest simply within yourself? Again, I've never experienced that any greater than I have in this past year. As I look at the busyness of life itself, which creates the anxiety and the anxiousness as I wait the busyness of Christmas itself. But Jesus even talks about his deeply anguished at what laid before him. It says this in Isaiah 52, verse 3. It says that he was a man of great sorrows. It shows that he fought off darkness within his own life as the enemy would kept trying to come and tempt him, but he overcame. See, the light and the darkness collide, yet light will always exist. It always wins out. And that's how we hear about it at the first Christmas. Light came over the darkness, and darkness tried everything it could to defeat the light. Yet God allows his son to begin his life in humble beginnings, born in the manger by the Virgin Mary, his mother, and his life is eternal and began with the eternal word of God, which brings us to point number two. God sent a man, John the Baptist. And I want to read this portion of scripture here as we look this morning, starting with verse 6, and talk about this, about John the Baptist, as we look at these verses, verse 6 through 13 this morning. It says this, that God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was the one was simply witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world as he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they even rejected him. But all who believed in him accepted him. Now here's some things that we can read about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent to be the witness to Jesus. Now remember in Christmas story in Luke chapter 1 verses 39 through 45, Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and she was found out she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It says when the two met, that she was early in her pregnancy, 3 months along, that Elizabeth, when they met, that Elizabeth's baby, which was John the Baptist in the womb, jumped for joy. But let's get back to what the Bible has to say this morning about what it means to be a witness. And witness is key here, as we see the Apostle John writes about the word witness 4 times as a noun and 33 times as a verb. John the Baptist was the one of many who bore witness to Jesus himself. This is the Son of God. John was the forerunner of Christ, and he was the one who proclaimed the Messiah is coming, and who would later baptize Jesus and see the heavens open and hear the voice of God saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." This gives us a perspective that this Christmas season of our witness to Jesus, as we observe and celebrate his birth, to bear witness of his life through our own lives, or are we too busy to be witnesses as we get caught up in life itself? Again, I've shared with you this morning about the teaching about being too busy, and it has been a very big part of my life, and especially in this past year. I'm the leader and the teaching pastor of Vital Ministries, in which I teach every Tuesday morning and Tuesday evening. Write a devotional for the men and have it prepared to be go out every morning. You could go to our Vital Ministries website, as I shared with you, vitalministries.org, and check that out. I'm the writer on Monday. I also speak on the radio, as many of you listen, every Sunday morning, and I preach in the prison the first Sunday of each month. That's just in ministry itself. But I also have a construction company. My brother and I, Steve, we build homes together, and we have a lot of work, and we've been very blessed in 2019. We have several homes going. We also got duplex going. We have been blessed with work. God has provided mightily in this past year. With that, I found that business has created anxiety in my own life, and I've realized that my plate is extremely full, in that Christmas is coming and at a rapid pace, and that brings, folks, to be honest, it brings anxiety to my life. How about you? Think about the busyness of your own life. All of you could probably share a story about how the busyness of life itself, no matter what you're doing in life, maybe you're at a home and you're a stay-at-home mom, it creates busyness, doesn't it? All the things, preparing, organizing, getting your kids off to school, or maybe you're the person that's worked, both men and women go to the workplace. It creates busyness. It creates pressure, stress, tension, and all that brings anxiety into our own lives. And I found that my witness sometimes isn't what it should be, and that my story to bear the witness of Jesus and who he is in my life takes great reflection and takes moments in my life where I got to look back at how my witness is. Just like John the Baptist, his whole obligation of his life was to bear witness that the Messiah was coming. And I sit there and I think about our own lives. I want you to think about this for me with a minute. As we think about the busyness of life itself, isn't our whole life to bear witness that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming again? We know that because it's written out throughout the Gospels. We also too see that written in Paul's writings and the different writings that we see in the other men in the New Testament. But also too, the book of Revelation constantly reminds us that Jesus is coming. And there's a theme, as John writes in the book of Revelation, that prepare the way for the Messiah is coming again. So our whole lives, no matter where we are, the beginning and the end, whether it's a period of time that's short or it's a period of time that we've been allowed to have length, what has it created in your own life? But let's keep reading this morning out of the Bible. And my point number 3 is that Jesus came. And I'm going to reread a portion of verse 10 as we go through 14 this morning to see what that means as the busyness of Christmas. Starting with verse 10, again, as I reread, he came into this very world he created. but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe in him and accepted, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but birth that comes from God itself. Now, isn't this an interesting story? As we look at the story of the birth of Christ, Jesus came as we celebrate Christmas, his birth, his coming, as he came through the womb, that God, the God-man, the Son of God himself, came just like us through the womb of a woman. Now, I find that so interesting, but as you can see, as he entered the world itself, he was rejected. Think about that with me for a minute at the Christmas story, as the rejection that was going on. King Herod the Great wanted to kill Jesus in the very beginning. So he goes out and sets out a plan and sends his men to Nazareth to go and kill every man child from the age 2 and below. And Joseph, as we read in the story, he has a dream, and God tells him in the dream to take his son and his wife and to leave. And they go and they escape and they leave. They run, they go to Egypt for a season, to run away from King Herod until King Herod dies. Again, we see darkness, which is the enemy, which is Satan himself trying to extinguish the light. But Satan cannot extinguish it, because Jesus is the one who is the true light. He is the one that gives light to everything in the world itself. And folks, don't we face darkness in the world? Think about the things that are coming, that's been pounded. You know, there's far more that's been said. As we look at, watch TV and the different things, we have lost the of what is going on with Christmas, because we're getting plummeted with the news about what's happening to our president and the things that are happening within the House of Representatives and the Senate, which creates anxiety in our life. People have come up to me, what do you think? Is President Trump going to get impeached? I don't know, but that's kind of the word of the street. It creates anxiety. All these things, instead of realizing, you know what, folks, that won't happen unless God himself allows it. And we know that because God puts men and women in authority over us. Again, light and darkness are colliding, and darkness is trying to overcome the light. And we can see that. We can see that in the deception of how the enemy will place in people's minds to try that this person is the enemy, and if we get rid of this person, then we can have this. The problem with that, folks, is it won't happen. And we got to realize the truth of the fact, just like we read in the Bible of Israel itself, Israel had turned their back in the time when Jesus Christ was born into the world. Time and time again, we read in the Old Testament, they constantly, God comes, helps them out, helps send light. He sends so many different things, as we read in the Old Testament. He sends judges, he sends kings, he sends prophets and priests. But still, Israel won't go and face the light. And that's the same thing for us even today. The heart of man, folks, this is the truth. The heart of man is unchanged. Nothing any different. The depravity of man is no greater in the time of what we live in than at the very beginning when Adam and Eve fell at the garden. But yet Jesus is the part of the orchestration of it. God's going to send his son. His son is going to be the light that's going to extinguish the darkness. And folks, Christmas, the next time when Jesus comes again, he will extinguish the darkness itself. But let's keep going this morning, as our last point is that Jesus is Christmas. And I want to show you that in verses 15 through 18. It says that John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." And this goes back, what he's saying here, folks, is that he existed before time itself, in the very beginning of the structures of the heavens and the earth, when the stars were set in place, when the planet Earth became, Jesus was there. But starting with verse 16, it says, "For his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ." That meant the law could not hold itself without Christ. "No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart, and he has revealed God to us. See, we get the revealing of God's heart, of who God is through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that's what we read about as we read in the Scriptures itself. So folks, as we look at the busyness time of Christmas, we look at all the anxiety, all the things that is created and wanting us to do. Can you take a moment in the busyness of life itself? Thank the Creator. Thank the Father for sending the Son. Father, I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world, and not only to be the light of the world, but to be light in my life, to be light in my heart, that I might become a testimony for you. Folks, I'm realizing in my own testimony, like I shared before, is important. All eyes are especially on people who claim to have faith and bear the witness of Jesus. Even myself this morning, before I even started, I had to come back and ask the Lord to forgive me of my own actions and my own attitudes and the own reflection of how the bearing of my own witness. Just to be honest, folks, if we can't be honest with each other, when can we be? And I hope that today, maybe you're traveling and you need to have an honest moment with the Lord. You have to ask Holy Spirit, you know what? I have not been a good bearer of your witness. Please forgive me how I failed, how I have sinned, how I have made things in our life that don't bear the true witness of Christ. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we can come before you and read about your humble beginnings. I read about how you inspired John to write about that, how you were the one that spoke everything into place. You were the builder of the one who was the architect, which was your Father. And Lord, we have failed you greatly. We have failed in our witnesses. We have failed in how we act and how we treat people. Lord, I just pray you would bring revival. You would bring a new beginnings. You would bring new life, not only to my heart, Lord, but to those that are struggling maybe at this Christmas season of the busyness of life itself. Not only are we too busy for Christmas, but we're too busy for life. Lord, help us to take moments to where we can come back, where you're calling us back home. Come back. Come back. Maybe, Lord, Holy Spirit, somebody's listening even today. You're calling them back. I pray that they will listen and allow their heart to be opened back to you. We thank you. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming this Christmas as a baby into our broken world. But Lord, even more so, we're going to thank you for ahead that we know you're coming again. But until then, help us all to stay the course in you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I'm hoping that today as we took a sidestep of a different avenue, a different way to reflect on Christmas itself. I pray that this Christmas season, days ahead, that you'll allow yourself to take moments out of the busyness of life and thank Jesus for what he did. Not only is he coming as a baby, but he's coming again. And that we're called to bear witness of your life. We thank you. So it's just going to be awesome. And with that being said, folks, Merry Christmas. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.